Chapter 20.
He did what? Marina exclaims. Ella shrugs her shoulders and looks down at her feet.
She heard you, I tell Ella, my lips pursed. She just can't believe John would do something so completely stupid.
Next to me, Nine winds up and kicks a big tuft of dirt out of the ground.
What the hell, Six? Are we like sidekicks now or something? This is bullshit.
The four of us stand in a clearing about a mile upriver from Niagara Falls. Our stolen warship is parked a few hundred yards away, dwarfing the sparse trees nearby, its tank-sized exit ramp extended. I keep catching glimpses of the monstrous ship out of the corner of my eye, and every time I have to resist the urge to run for cover. Hard to believe that's ours now. Marina runs two hands through her hair. I talked to him about this, about controlling his anger.
Nine chuckles. Was that before or after you tried to stab Five in the face with an icicle? Again.
After, actually, Marina replies stiffly. I thought he was managing his grief, at least. But flying off alone to do battle with another warship, my God, Six, it's suicide.
I don't know, I reply. You didn't see him up there. He was pretty much unstoppable.
He's not thinking, Marina says, shaking her head emphatically. Part of him truly believes he can do this himself, Ella puts in, and another part of him doesn't want to see anyone else get hurt. He's convinced it will be better for everyone if he does this alone.
We all fall silent for a moment, considering Ella's words. It's pretty obvious to me, at least, that she plucked those feelings right out of John's brain. No way did he confide that in her.
Aw, hell with that nobility shit, Nine says. This is our war, too. I'm going to beat his ass when he comes back.
You realize what he's left us with is a pretty big deal, too, right? I ask, looking around at the others. I don't want to spend any more time talking about John.
Delivering these cloaking devices is going to save a lot of lives, potentially. It's the key to humanity being able to win the war.
Nine scoffs and walks away. Marina sighs and folds her arms across her chest, half turning to gaze out over the river. Ella just stands there, still holding on to the satellite phone that John gave her. I glance down at my own phone, the one that Sam gave me that's hopefully emulating the cloaking device's frequency. 17% battery life. When that runs out, according to Sam, this crappy old cell phone will forget the instructions he gave it. We better hurry up with this test. No sooner do I start to worry that we're running out of time than I hear the rumble of an engine. A jeep drives into view, bouncing over the rough terrain of the clearing, Lexa at the wheel. Lexa pulls up in front of me and gets out, the engine idling.
Good timing, I tell her.
The Canadians said they'd prefer if we didn't crash it, Lexa says with a shrug. They were real polite about it.
All goes well, their car will be just fine, I reply.
I notice Adam appear at the top of the warship's ramp. Rex stands behind him, more like hides behind him, looking as timid as a mouse. I take a few steps towards the warship and wave to them. Meanwhile, Nine jogs over to my side.
Is it ready? I yell, cupping my hands around my mouth.
Yeah, Adam shouts back. The force field is fully functional.
I squint at the warship. I can't actually see the force field from this distance. Like before, when we were flying towards it, you can't really see the dull blue energy until you're nearly right on top of it. I edge closer to the ship. Nine puts a protective hand on my upper arm.
The hell are you doing? He asks.
I glance down at his hand. Same question.
You don't want to get too close to that shit, Nine says. I had to nurse Johnny back to health after he took a header into one of those force fields.
I know what I'm doing, I reply, and shrug Nine off.
I edge as close to the warship as I dare, right up until the force field becomes visible. Then, using my heel, I dig out a line in the grass. That's our target, I say as I jog back to the others. We push the jeep past that with Sam's cloaking device attached. We know it works.
Why bother with the car? Why not just float Sam's device through the field with our telekinesis? Marina asks.
We know the Moog's cloaking devices cover an entire vehicle, Lexa says. We don't know that Sam's has the same range.
Assuming it works at all, Nine adds.
I take the flip phone and set it on the Jeep's dashboard. Then I back up and look around.
That's all you need to do? Marina asks with a raised eyebrow.
I guess, I reply. Sam said it's just constantly sending out the cloaking frequency, or the data packet, or whatever the hell.
Data packet, Nine groans. This is boring. You know, I'm actually hoping the Jeep blows up so we can see some action.
Real nice, Nine, Marina says. I wave him off.
Ready to push this thing?
Lexa puts her hands on the back of the Jeep, which continues to idle in neutral.
Ready, she says.
We all stare at her. Finally, Nine laughs.
Aw, lady, we don't push like that, he says.
Lexa stands back, and the four of us, me, Nine, Marina, and Ella, all concentrate on the Jeep. We shove it forward with our telekinesis. It kicks up dirt and grass, the wheels spinning, moving fast.
Easy, I warn the others. We don't want it to explode if it hits the force field.
A real vote of confidence for your boyfriend's work, Nine mutters.
I frown. It's going to work, and even if it doesn't, at least Sam is trying, not just complaining about not getting to kill things like Nine is.
I open my mouth to respond sharply, but Marina gets there first.
Do you think it's just coincidence, Nine, that one of our closest allies should manifest exactly the legacy we need to fight off the Mogadorian invasion?
Marina shakes her head passionately.
It is the will of Lorien itself that we received this gift.
With that, I feel Marina increase her telekinetic push on the Jeep, speeding it along at a breakneck pace towards the force field. Nine shuts up and watches with the rest of us. Hidden from the others, I cross my fingers. The Jeep crosses the line I made in the dirt. Its front end heaves upwards like it just hit a tremendous bump. The windshield and all its windows shatter inwards. There's a resounding magnetic hum from the force field that I can feel in my teeth. But it goes through, mostly intact. Marina and Ella let out simultaneous cries of triumph. I turn to Nine and grin. He shrugs at me.
Props to Sam, he says.
Adam runs down the warship ramp to examine the Jeep. From the other side of the still active force field, he yells to us,
It was a little rough, but it worked.
Adam reaches into the Jeep and pulls the cell phone off the dashboard. He tries to hold it between two fingers, but ends up dropping it. Even from here, I can tell that the thing is smoldering. A wisp of smoke rises up from where the phone burns the grass.
I think it's a one-time deal, though, Adam concludes.
Better than nothing, Nine says.
Excited, I take the satellite phone from Ella and dial the number for Sam's phone.
Sam!
I exclaim as soon as I hear his voice.
Hey, he responds, sounding relieved. We just heard. Did you guys really steal a whole warship? Never mind that, I reply. But, yes, listen, your thing, the cell phone, it worked. It blew up right after, and maybe wasn't the gentlest ride through the force field, but it worked.
I hear a muffled cheer from Sam. He's probably covering the receiver with his hand.
It worked! My legacy worked!
I hear him yell to whoever else is in the room with him. There's an immediate clamor of voices.
This is amazing, Sam says, speaking to me now. I've made more since this morning, just in case it paid off. The other guys here think, now that we've got Earth-made technology aping the frequency, maybe it'll be easier to replicate. You know, without using a superpower.
You're a hero, Sam, I say with a grin. Next to me, Nine rolls his eyes, but he's smiling too.
We're going to start delivering cloaking devices soon. Get your stuff ready so we can pass it out.
I will, he replies. I... A loud bang on his end of the phone cuts Sam off. In the background, I hear Malcolm say, What on earth was that?
Sam?
I ask, my brow knitting with concern.
Hey, sorry, he says. Something just exploded.
Probably the new kid's training.
Before I can respond, I hear an unmistakable popping sound from Sam's side. The noise sounds like fireworks going off in the distance, but I learned long ago what that sound really signifies.
That's gunfire, and it isn't letting up.
Now the voices around Sam are hushed. Everyone's listening. My grip tightens on the phone. I feel a clenching in the pit of my stomach.
Sam, talk to me.
Hearing the strain in my voice, the others around me stop what they're doing and draw closer. The smiles from our successful experiment with the warship all slowly fade.
Six? Sam's voice is pitched just above a whisper. Six? I think we're under attack.